Hi, welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Charlotte.
I'm Chris.
And we are the Pleasure Mechanics.
In this podcast, we offer expert sex advice so you can have an amazing sex life. You can submit a question to be answered on future episodes by heading over to pleasuremechanics.com, where you'll also find our complete archive of over 100 episodes of this podcast. While you're there, please check out our complete suite of online courses designed to help you master new erotic skills in the privacy of your own home at your own pace. And as a listener of Speaking of Sex, use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off the online course of your choice. On today's episode, we are going to get a little graphic, so you might not want to listen to this episode while eating dinner. Or breakfast, for that matter. Charlotte's going to get us started by reading a question submitted by a listener.
I'm curious how in porn you see a girl having anal and then he pulls it out and she gives him head. This cannot taste good. Is there some prepping that they do, like flavored enemas? Thank you for your time.
Okay, so in this episode, we're going to take on this question of what you see in porn versus what you can do in reality that is safe and healthy, and especially when it comes to anal sex, because there is no other sex act that porn has misinformed so many people about than anal play. It's really kind of a travesty. So to get the first question out of the way, no, there's no such thing as flavored enemas.
I mean, there are coffee enemas, but it doesn't make everything taste like coffee.
That's a totally different thing. So porn stars do prepare for anal sex. Sometimes that includes a light rinse or an enema. We have pages on our website that are actually some of the most popular pages. If you go to the website and go to index at pleasuremechanics.com and look under anal, you'll find anal play preparation and hygiene guides that are very thorough guides on how to prepare for anal sex. Because it is a sex act you do want to prepare for if you don't want to play with poop. And porn stars do rinse out. Full enemas are a more advanced skill, and we actually don't recommend them for you to do them at home. But there is nothing flavored or no secret tricks that make ATM a good idea. And when I say ATM, I'm talking about ass to mouth, which is the industry term for the sex act that unfortunately is becoming more and more commonplace in porn.
Anal in general used to be very niche, a more extreme act that was done here and there, and over the years it has become so mainstream that it's almost become part of the normal porn script. And because porn is constantly pushing the edges of the extreme to compete in crowded marketplaces, ATM is now very often included in porn. And this is a very extreme act in that it has health risks that you need to be aware of before you consent to doing it.
Right. It almost should have flashing warnings on the screen, like, this is fantasy, do not try this at home. Because the problem with ATM, ass-to-mouth sex, is the spread of harmful bacteria and parasites. If you take a penis out of the anus and immediately put it in a mouth, there is a very high risk of infection because these are separate areas of the body with separate microbiomes, and they're meant to be kept separate. Crossing that barrier, especially after vigorous sex where you're stirring up the juices, so to speak, you can spread really harmful things and get intestinal parasites and bacterial infections that can create havoc on your system, and you don't want that. This act is portrayed because it's extreme and it's rare, a little shocking, and porn audiences like this. So much of porn nowadays is going for that shock factor to capture eyeballs because clicks and views equal revenue for these companies. So they're not in it to portray what's most pleasurable for you, and certainly not what's most pleasurable for the actors within porn. They're doing it to shock you so you watch. And this is problematic, for the most part, because there are no special effects or stunt actors in porn. When we portray a fantasy, something outlandish and shocking, in a Hollywood movie, We use all sorts of techniques like special effects, stunt actors, different camera angles to keep the actors safe. They don't actually hurl actors off the buildings during those chase scenes, right? They give you the fantasy of it while keeping everyone safe. In the porn industry, however, they are actually using real people to do these dangerous acts in order to make money. And this is really unregulated, and we find it really problematic because we're asking sex workers to take on dangerous acts and show them to people at home, and then don't even educate about the fact that these are not safe sexual acts to try. So this is creating danger not only for the actors, but for the audience. And we find this really harmful.
Right, because in a world where there's so much sexual shame, most people don't know and don't get the education that that is not a safe and reasonable thing to do.
Right.
Reasonable.
You don't go to your doctor and say, hey, is ass-to-mouth safe? Right. Very few people are asking that question. So I actually really respect the woman who wrote in about this question because she's seeking information and education about something she's seen and is curious about. So, ass to mouth, no bueno, not a good idea. If you want to do it because it's edgy and risky and therefore thrilling, the way to do it safely is you use a condom during anal play, and then you pull out, you take that condom off, and ideally put another condom on, or hopefully you have a clean penis that you can then switch to oral sex. And this minimizes risk, but doesn't eliminate it because condoms don't cover the entire area of the penis, right? They just go down to the base of the shaft, and therefore that area around the shaft and balls can still harbor bacteria that can be transmitted. And this rule of switching condoms is true for switching between any two orifices, because just as problematic as ass to mouth is ass to vagina, ATV. And this act is something that a lot of people want to do and want to try. But again, you can't just go from the anus to the vagina or back again without transmitting harmful bacteria and creating infections. So you have to switch condoms, or even more ideally, stop, wash the penis, and then go back. But of course, that breaks the flow of sex. So anytime you're switching orifices, you have to acknowledge that there is an inherent risk of bacterial transmission, and you are taking on that known risk if you're going to do these acts.
We wish that some of these acts were done in anime and not that we weren't asking real people to be exposing themselves to risky behavior.
Anime meaning?
Animated porn. It's originated in Japan.
Right, well, the Japanese sex culture is one of extremes, and so they use animation to portray such fantastical sex acts that you cannot possibly ask humans to do it, like sex with octopuses or aliens, octopi. And anime porn can be really hot, and we can use it as a way of portraying fantasies without real people.
So we wish that was happening more, because we would love everything that was happening to bodies to be respectful and beautiful and healthy. Not that that always has to be nice and polite, but to be respecting the anatomy is always central to what we value.
Right. Sex can be healthy for the body, even if it's rough and tough on the exterior, and that's the energy of it. The actual acts you can do should be safe and not cause injury or possible infection.
Ideally in our world.
Another thing porn shows when it comes to anal play and vaginal play is using random household objects to penetrate these tender, beautiful, pleasurable orifices. Not a good idea.
Anything you're going to put into the anus should really have a flared base.
Meaning wider at the bottom than it is where you insert it.
Those stories you hear about people having to go to the doctor to get objects taken out of their ass are real. People
yes.
do have to do that. So save yourself the cost, the emotional experience, and just use toys that are designed for penetration.
Right. And the reason this happens is because when you are aroused and having orgasms, the contractions of the anus tend to suck objects in. And unlike the vagina, which has a cervix, which is a natural built-in stopping point for any penetratable object, the anus has no end. It goes straight into your lower intestine after the rectum, and objects can be pulled and sucked in beyond where you can retrieve them. So when you see in porn things like beer bottles, household objects, even soda cans, like these random objects being inserted in just for, again, the shock of it, do not try this at home.
I also just want to mention vegetables. People would think about using cucumbers and
bananas.
There's so many
carrots,
sexy shaped fruits and vegetables, but it's not recommended. But if you're going to do it, please use condoms around them.
Didn't you know someone?
Yeah, I knew someone who used a cucumber and then had anal inflammation for months and months and months and could not figure out what to do about it. Doctors really had nothing to offer. I mean, it was like uncomfortable sitting down. I mean, it was a whole thing. And I don't know if perhaps just using a condom on the cucumber would have been, yeah, would have made a difference. You know, getting an anal toy would have been best, but if you're going to be cutting down on costs or whatever your reasons are, yeah, please use a condom on your vegetables of choice.
Oh, we go places I never expect to go.
I know.
There is a world of beautiful sex toys designed for anal play that have smooth edges, no sharp corners, that are made of safe, hygienic, easily cleaned materials, and have that flared base, so no matter how into it you get, they're not going to get lost inside your body. Again, I wish porn respected the body and respected its audience enough to not show these extreme, shocking, risky behaviors as normal. I'm not saying they're not normal, like the desire for them isn't normal, or the fact that they turn you on isn't normal, but it's not healthy to do in your day-to-day sex life, and therefore we shouldn't be showing it as if it were. Does that make sense? We don't want to shame anyone about what they watch in the porn world. But if we acknowledge that porn is fantasy, we need to create that boundary really tightly. Just like, again, when you go to Hollywood movies and you see something exciting, you can enjoy it in that world of fantasy. But you don't go home and without training start doing parkour over city buildings, jumping from object to object, and expect not to get hurt. We're educated enough about that fantasy world to know what we're capable of and what we're not capable of. But when it comes to sex, we see something on screen, it turns us on, and we then try to do it at home and people get hurt. So we need more of a education around what's fantasy and what's reality. And I think the porn industry should be responsible for some of that education and make that line more deliberate. And one way to do that would be using animated porn for the things that aren't safe. But at least they should have disclaimers. Do not try this at home, right?
Or if you're going to, these are the risks. I mean, and it's unlikely this is going to be happening anytime soon, so.
Well, just as a side note, it's interesting. There's a debate going on in California right now about safety work standards. And one of the proposals is that porn stars would have to wear protective eye gear to protect them from infectious bodily fluids.
Like semen flying in their eyes, basically, because yes, there's risk in that.
So, but instead of the porn industry acknowledging this risk and doing anything about it, they say, well, we'll just leave California if you legislate this. So again, it's the industry's failing to deal with all of the risks they're portraying. And
they don't want to wear sexy eye goggles?
I mean, that could be a whole thing. I could get into that. So I think it's just about educating yourself as a porn consumer and having enough information, which is what we're trying to provide you, so you know what's safe and what's not safe, what can be done at home with full pleasure and abandon because you know you're taking care of one another, and what you need to either get more skills around or leave to the fantasy realm alone. And if there's anything you ever see in porn that you're curious about, is this a possibility or not? Is this real? Is it not? Email us and we will share our information with you. Our episode on fisting is our most popular episode of this podcast because that's something that's seen in porn, and it can be totally safe and totally pleasurable if done with the right skills. And in our podcast, we kind of teach you the basics of it. In our Foreplay Mastery course, we teach you how to use your fingers and get a woman really aroused so she's able to receive an entire hand in her vagina. But that's something that's extreme. It's a little shocking to see, but the anatomy is totally up for it if done properly. So there are these lines of what is most risky and less risky, how to minimize that risk. And when we're talking about risk, it's not just in terms of infection of STIs, sexually transmitted infections, it's also risk of injury and damage to the tissues. And if you're having sex in a long-term relationship, you want to keep one another healthy, because if you cause damage to the tissues that takes 3 months to heal, you're out of sex for 3 months at least, and you've caused this rift in your relationship because you've hurt one another, and no one wants that, right?
Well, even if you're just having random sex, I feel like it's still valuable as being a good human that you would like to not hurt one another.
Good point. Yes.
We don't want to be hurting one another.
Right. Part of being a good lover is not only being able to give pleasure, it's minimizing risk of harm emotionally and physically.
Which is why we really wish, actually, that anal play in general wasn't so normalized in porn altogether. I feel like it's so thought of kind of on the same level as oral and then intercourse and then anal. And it needs much more care and attention and warm-up.
I'm just surprised to hear you say that because anal play is a favorite of ours, actually, when done with the right technique.
Absolutely. I'm just saying I think that it has become so normalized in porn that people think you can just throw it in, when I don't feel like there's enough attention and care to the warm-up, and that it is still an extreme act to a certain extent. Not as extreme as many others, but you need skill and the body needs to be prepared for it. It's not just something you throw in. And I think that it's been viewed like that so often now that you hear that younger people are having anal as if it's just like an easy thing you throw in. If you do it that way, that it's not going to be as pleasurable, it can be painful and it can harm you. So we have a lot of other podcasts about anal sex in general that if you're curious about and you want more information about, I would definitely recommend listening to them. What I'm trying to say is that anal sex can be an absolutely gorgeous and glorious part of your sex life if it's done well and carefully and with attention to the anatomy. We are passionate about it. I think it's a beautiful sex act.
We have a whole course on it, Anal Sex Mastery, that takes you from that beautiful external stimulation all the way up to full penetration and everything in between. And you can find that course at pleasuremechanics.com and use your code to get the discount. Because what porn is not showing is all of that beautiful external touch as an option. And I think part of what you're trying to say is you don't just slam into anal sex without all of the steps in between. And this is what the course really focuses on, because sometimes a little bit of anal touch just added to oral sex is all you want. And that brings so much more arousal to the experience and activates all those nerve endings, and penetration is nowhere on the menu. So this is another failing of porn, is not showing all of the beautiful steps, all of the options when it comes to anal stimulation. They just show the full-on jackhammer anal
penetration.
Sex. Yeah.
Right, the penetration is one part of it, but you want to explore and extend the arousal and the pleasure before you get to that so that it feels really good.
So I guess what we're talking about is porn literacy.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah, that's a great term.
It's all about how to watch porn with an understanding of it as fantasy, and use it to turn you on, but know where the real life boundaries are and what you can actively explore in your sex life and what can stay fantasy only, and to be aware enough of where you need more education to take on riskier sex acts. And this is certainly true with kinky porn, which tends to be incredibly extreme and show sex acts that are very dangerous. And we'll be talking a lot more about kinky sex in the coming months as we prepare to launch our new course, which is all about kinky sex mastery. It's amazing. And part of the reason we designed it is because people were interested in kinky sex, going online, being absolutely overwhelmed and shocked at what they see, and not knowing how to start having kinky sex safely within their relationship. And so our course walks couples through that process in a really fun, exciting, sexy way. And in fact, all of our courses start from this question of what do people need to know to have an amazing sex life, safely, pleasurably, keeping their relationships healthy and even improving their relationships through better sex. And that's our starting point for all of our courses. It certainly was for Anal Sex Mastery because people are misinformed by what they see in porn. So, if you watch any porn and you have any questions about what you see, never hesitate to contact us. Come over to pleasuremechanics.com, hit the Ask Us Anything button, and let us know what you're thinking about, what you're curious about, and we will continue to help you build your porn literacy skills along with your erotic mastery skills.
I love it. I love it. If you agree with our belief that it would be ideal to be watching and consuming sex acts that are healthy and safe for bodies, we invite you to begin reflecting that in the porn that you watch.
Vote with your clicks.
I feel like there's something that could rhyme there with dicks too. But try and pay attention and notice, are they having a good time on the screen? Do you, using your rational brain as you're watching, think that this is a healthy act that they could be participating in? This isn't about feeling shame about what you desire or what you're watching. Sometimes we just get into habit for watching more intense things that are being suggested, and just maybe bring some critical analysis to your porn watching and perhaps just shift slightly towards watching something that looks like it could be pleasurable, really, for both participants, where there's pleasure happening, where the acts are healthy and safe. And perhaps slowly over time, you can become a porn consumer that is voting with your clicks for health and safety of the performers.
Right. And if you want to explore more extreme sexual fantasies, seek it out in its animated version. And notice that it can actually be even hotter because they can take things further and bigger and bolder when it comes to animation, because there are no real-world limits. And that's one of the things that's nice about sexual fantasy versus reality. In fantasy, there are no limitations. And so you are set free to be as big and extreme as you want to be with no real-world repercussions. And animated porn is a great way to do that. And maybe we could create a whole industry around illustrating our sexual fantasies in a way that doesn't hurt anyone and gives all the pervy cartoonists out there more work.
Though a middle ground is often amateur porn, people are mostly motivated by sharing their pleasure and there isn't a paycheck involved.
These are real world couples filming their sex lives, and there's less coercion for porn stars to do extreme acts for a bigger paycheck. Because that's what happens, is the porn industry knows that these acts are less desirable, and ass to mouth is actually not the most extreme example of it anymore. We're not even going to go into the more extreme examples because they give us stomach aches, honestly. And I don't want to encourage you watching them because they're really damaging to the female body and are just awful. But the actresses that do these scenes get paid more money, and so the most vulnerable amongst sex workers are the ones that end up accepting these paychecks, doing these scenes, and doing permanent damage to their body. And that's just not okay. Like, in what world is that okay? Not in ours. Not in the Pleasure Mechanics galaxy.
So, yeah.
Vote with your clicks.
Don't shame yourself. If you've gotten used to liking certain things, it's understandable. But maybe experiment with just retraining your turn-on and retraining your habits and see what happens.
All right.
I want to say one more thing.
Okay.
Because sometimes I think people feel bad about watching porn, but porn itself is not... You don't have to feel bad about watching porn if you're watching good porn. There's a lot more to say about that because I feel like it's to do with quantity and all of that. But I think that some people's guilt about how they're consuming porn is to do with the kind of porn that they're watching and knowing at some level, whether or not you've analyzed it, that it's not healthy.
Well, one of the reasons porn is a turn-on is because we as humans attune to other humans that we're watching. And so we feel the arousal, whether it's fake or not, of the people in the porn. But if the people in the porn are actually suffering and enduring, part of you feels that, whether you can identify it or not. Sometimes if the person in the movie is feeling pain or suffering,
or discomfort,
or discomfort,
or bracing against...
Yeah, like you can feel that somewhere, and it's often in the pit of your stomach, because that's where our intuition is, and this is not a metaphor. There are very real anatomical structures there, but anyway, you can feel that discomfort, and it is contagious, and so meanwhile you're aroused, and this creates a very confusing physical experience. And so if any of the porn you're watching makes you a little queasy, try something else. Because you might be picking up on the actor's discomfort that is coming through the portrayal in the video and feeling that on a real guttural level.
And you don't want to be mixing that up with your sexual pleasure and your sexual turn-on. Like, you can get to a place through what you consume where your turn-on is just a joy and a pleasure and an ecstatic experience. That is what sex can be. It doesn't have to have feelings of disgust or...
Well, I think it's interesting because I think people feel that disgust because of what they're watching physically, but because of our social messaging, they relate to it on an emotional level and translate it into shame and guilt. And I think what you're saying is watch the right porn and you might feel just pure turn on and celebration within your body, and it can be fun to watch and jovial. And this, I love 70s porn for this reason. It was a totally different industry back then, and you watch it and it feels like a celebration of eroticism, instead of this kind of murky underground of extreme sex acts. So explore. Watch some vintage porn, watch some amateur porn, watch some animated porn, and see what your body responds to with pure turn-on without any sense of disgust or queasiness. How's that for a challenge?
Yeah, just experiment.
Let us know how it goes over at pleasuremechanics.com on the Ask Us Anything page. We'd love to hear about your experiences with this. All right, I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.